I'm Adam Abraham. The term MMS is fast becoming recognized as shorthand for a protocol for introducing safe amounts of chlorine dioxide, one of the most potent oxidizing agents known to man, into the human body. We are just beginning to appreciate the implications and the possibility of gaining a new lease on our health. Toxification has become such a ubiquitous part of the human experience that we almost forget that it isn't natural. We don't say no to allopathic medical solutions that rely heavily on toxins to protect us from disease, even while disease is thought to be as certain as death and taxes. Society pays a costly toll for disease in general. The price on the human psyche is immeasurable because precious few toxin removal methods have shown themselves to be quick, effective, or reasonably priced. That is, until MMS. The conversation that follows is with Jim Humble, the gold miner, metallurgist, chemist, and author of Breakthrough, Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, and developer of the protocol. His work led to the safe and successful use of MMS to help over 75,000 people in Africa rid themselves of life-threatening malaria, a disease that kills from 1 to 3 million people every year. Since that time, thousands more have begun exploring and discovering how their own health challenges may be mitigated with the help of a chlorine dioxide cleanse. The purpose of this recording is to inform you about the protocol and of the characteristics and nature of the chemical precipitate that is chlorine dioxide, so that you can determine whether its possible risks and benefits are for you. Okay, all right, well, let's distill it down and let's keep it simple.
Okay, well, yeah, that's good. Old saying, keep it simple, stupid, I guess, does the work, does the job, huh?
Yeah, I'm definitely game for doing that, and there's no need in making something complicated. One of the beauties of the MMS and this whole protocol is that it is simple, it's effective, and probably many of the questions are very specific, too.
Yeah.
I want to clarify something or correct something that I was under a misconception when we talked the first time, and that was about the talking about malaria. We were talking and the number of deaths each year. I misinterpreted that it was like 500 million deaths a year, but the numbers actually is there between 350 and 500 million clinical episodes of malaria each year. And
right.
And then that boils down, though, to somewhere in the neighborhood, what, of somewhere around a million, let me see.
Between 1 million and 3 million.
There you go. Between 1 and 3 right. million actual deaths, which really is very significant anyway, but I blew that out of proportion there. To talk a little bit, the interest in MMS is just growing daily. And not only interest, excitement is growing, hope is growing. And of course, as more people go in, a lot of people are going in without the full deck of information, though. So I figured let's get together and let's talk. Assuming someone is getting this perhaps maybe secondhand, but let's focus in on what we should have them know based on some of the most prevalent questions that people are sending to you.
Okay, well, the majority of the questions that arrive here, which are hundreds, is the protocol. What is the protocol? You know, and I think I was a little remiss in the book in not giving a good enough step-by-step protocol. And the protocol is very simple, and it's almost the same for every disease. The only way it changes at all is how intense it is. The worse the cancer and the worse the particular disease, the more intense you want to make the protocol. But it basically starts out simple like this. You want to start out taking one or two drops. Now, if you're very, very sick, you start out with one drop. And if you're really extremely sick, you start out with a half a drop. And so they've been asked, well, how do you take a half a drop? Well, you put one drop in a glass and you add five drops of
activator,
acid, citric acid, or lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
And you let that mix it a little bit by swishing the glass a little bit. And you let that go for 3 minutes. Then you add your water, like a half a glass of water or a third of a glass of water, something like that. And then you pour half of it out before you drink it. So you're only drinking a half a drop.
Gotcha.
But normally, most people will start out with two drops. And generally, most people won't two drops will be okay. Now, the really, really significant thing in taking MMS is the nausea.
Yes.
Nausea is not being sick. Nausea is just... it's not the same thing as a sickness, and not even close. But nausea tells you that something in your body wants to come out and is coming out. And the more intense the nausea, the more faster it's coming out. But nausea, it just tells you that something has been destroyed, and it now is in the condition that the body can get rid of it. Body couldn't get rid of it up to this point, but now whatever it is that you did, it's killed something, and now it's changed that thing to the point where the body can now get rid of it. And so the body is now trying to get rid of the poison and the nausea and maybe even throwing up, and maybe diarrhea will happen. Diarrhea will happen first and probably, and throwing up will come second. But that's what the two drops thing is. You start with two drops to keep that from happening. And then if you don't feel any nausea or anything from taking two drops, now remember, anytime I'm saying take two drops, I mean you always have to activate the drops with five drops of lemon juice or lime juice or citric acid solution, but you've got to activate it. Just never take the MMS without activating. It ain't going to do you any good. It just goes right through. So it's got to be activated. Now, then the next step after you activate it is you wait 3 minutes, and then you add the water, whatever it is, and then you take it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I say three drops or two drops or one drop, I'm always talking about also adding the activator and the three-minute wait and all of that.
One thing you were saying in the beginning was that if someone is really sick, they would take one drop, but if they were extremely sick, they'd take a half drop. It's like you were stepping it down, where logic might suggest that if they were extremely sick, they'd be taking more instead of less.
It's just so, the way it is the sicker you are, the lighter you have to hit the person. That's basically true of most situations, depending, of course, on other factors. Like in Africa, when a person is really, really sick with malaria, you ain't hitting the person. In that case, you're hitting the malaria, so you got to give them a real good dose, or it ain't going to do them any good.
Right.
So, but normally, you don't want to make the person sicker. He's really, really sick, and he's lying there. And one half a drop is going to kill a lot of stuff in his body. And you can't make him too much sicker. In other words, too much nausea added to his sickness that he's already got, he just ain't going to be able to take. So you want to keep from giving him any nausea at all, if possible. So a half a drop generally will keep from giving anybody nausea, and it will still do some good.
I see.
Anyway, you can start out from a half a drop with real sick ones or two drops with normal people, and so you're trying to avoid the nausea to a certain extent, but you want to know that there is nausea, because the nausea is telling you that something in your body is being killed. And if you have no nausea, and I was just talking to a guy a minute ago, he got the stuff and he takes 15 drops and there's 3, 4, 5 days in a row and he feels fine. But he's really healthy, and he's a normally healthy guy, And like I say, a person can take that many drops if he's healthy, and nothing, zero, is going to happen. So you're looking for, when you're taking the 2 drops, and then you go to 3 drops, and then you go to 4 drops, and then you go to 5 drops, if you get nauseous at 5 drops, drop back to 4 drops. Don't quit. Most people say, oh, I got nauseous, or used to say, now people are learning better, but they used to say, I got nauseous at 5 drops and I quit. Well, that ain't going to do you any good. You want to drop back to 4 drops, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 times, and then go to 5 again.
Uh-huh.
And by the time you go to 5, say after even 1 time or maybe 2 times, when you go to 5, you probably won't feel any nausea, and you might go on up to 6, 7, or 8, and then you'll feel a little nausea again, and you drop back again. And the nausea is telling you that something is happening. If you ain't getting any nausea, nothing is happening. So the nausea is really a good sign. That's telling you that your body is cleaning out something that has been killed, because that's the only thing that causes the nausea. And I've had thousands of people have taken it now, and they finally get up to 15 drops 3 times a day and without nausea, and they feel good, and they feel great. They don't have a lot of the problems that was, even if they haven't got any diseases in their body, they probably killed off a lot of heavy viral load or bacteria load, or both, and when you kill those off, you make your body more able to assimilate foods and that sort of thing, and you make your body less affected by junk foods and more able to handle junk foods, because you used to be feeding all that virus and all that bacteria with the junk foods, but now you're no longer feeding the virus and the bacteria and stuff, so your body can utilize the foods that you're eating a lot more easily, and you don't have to have the extreme rules of eating organic foods and all that kind of stuff that you had before, because now you're healthier and you can handle all that crap much better.
There you go. There's a reason to be able to eat at McDonald's if we want to, huh?
Yeah, right.
Here's one thing about the nausea and the die-off, if you will. When we're feeling that nausea, is that meaning that toxins are, again, like released and are just kind of free in the body to settle someplace else? Or are they coming out? I mean, what's really happening there?
Well, all evidence points to the fact that they're coming out.
Mm-hmm.
When the chlorine dioxide oxidizes bacteria or virus or various different poisons, it changes the characteristic of that poison by a tremendous amount.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, the body has ability to handle oxidized poisons one hell of a lot better than it has ability to handle the poisons that are there for other reasons. Because the evidence is that all the people that are getting well, whenever you oxidize those poisons, whatever they are, they still seem to be poisons because they make you real nauseous, but the body is able to get rid of them. In other words, they wash out of the body now. They go, and rather than being stuck in various different places where they're causing damage.
Is hydration of specific consideration in terms of flushing or getting more fluids in to help facilitate the removal of those poisons?
I think so. You should be sure to always drink plenty of water while you're doing it, but you should always be sure to drink plenty of water anyway.
That's true.
And, of course, a lot of people have trouble with drinking a lot of water, but you need to force it. Take plenty of water. Make sure you get your 8 glasses, because you need to flush that stuff out, and without the 8... And, you know, we measure people's urine here and look at it under the dark field microscope. We happen to have one of the best dark field microscopes that's ever been developed. And we can tell you that if you don't have enough water in your system, your urine shows that you're having a material in it that will cause blood clots. And we've we verified that because then when we went to the blood, took the blood out, we could see the small blood clots all over the place when you aren't drinking enough water. And those small blood clots, whenever they form into a larger blood clot, can cause a stroke, and lots of strokes are caused just by people not drinking enough water. You got to have enough water in your system to keep all of those blood clots dissolved. All of that stuff that's in your blood has got to have plenty of water to keep it dissolved. And if you don't have enough water in your blood, the blood clots start to form. And we proved that time and again by taking the blood out and checking it, and then drinking plenty of water and then checking the blood, and the clots go away if you got plenty of water in your system. So you're being dangerous just by not drinking enough water.
Mm-hmm. And also drinking other liquids that tend to sabotage the body's ability to actually assimilate the water, essentially. So
I've got some bad news for the purists in the crowd.
Yeah.
We checked Pepsi and Coke and all of those. We had, you know, we drank Pepsi and then checked our blood and then drank Coke and then checked our blood and then drank water and checked our blood. And believe it or not, the Pepsi dissolved more of the blood clots than anything else. Coke didn't do very good, but Pepsi really did good. So I found that if I checked my blood and I was taking plenty of water or not getting quite enough water, I could drink a glass of Pepsi and wow, the clots went away.
That's going to go into the annals for the Coke versus Pepsi crowd big time.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in Pepsi, but it was really, and it wasn't just for me, but a whole bunch of us here checked it just to see if that was true, and it worked out for everybody.
Maybe that's why it was really the Pepsi generation after all, huh?
Maybe so.
We've got some really great understandings about what die-off is. I was trying to get, from the nausea feeling, because it is certainly an inclination, it seems to be a natural inclination to resist that. But in this particular context, when you're doing this kind of detox, that feeling, in this case, nausea, is unpleasant, but it is good, is what we're saying.
That's right, and what you just said about detox is really exactly what you're doing. Using the MMS is detoxing the body, basically, and it's detoxing the body of all kinds of bacteria, and it also detoxes the body of heavy metals like mercury and lead and that sort of thing. It takes all of those out, and we made tests to prove that. We tested people who had heavy metals, and then we've given them MMS for a few days, and then tested them again, and the heavy metals were gone. So it actually gets the heavy metals, and it gets all kinds of poisons that you don't like. For example, with malaria, when you give a person is terribly, terribly sick in bed, and yet you give them MMS, and in just 2 hours to 4 hours, all the sickness is gone. And what causes the sickness, of course, is the poisons that the malaria is making. And the MMS has got to be destroying those poisons, because those poisons don't go away in 4 hours all by themselves. Mm-hmm. Something has to do it. And the MMS is the only thing there that responsible, so it's got to be the thing that's destroying those poisons. So the MMS destroys a lot of poisons in the body, because poisons are below the acidic level of the body, and it can recognize the poisons by the fact that they are more acidic than the body is.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently it reacts against those things that are more acidic than the body.
We tend to focus on the poisons, such as whether it's from parasites, whether it's from heavy metals, toxins, well, heavy metals in per se, but we're thinking typically in environmental terms. But there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people are walking around right now that are really toxic as a result of medical treatment. And in some cases, medical treatment that has run its course to the extent that the medical system has washed their hands of them, so to speak, and that they can't do anything more for them. But they're loaded with toxicity now, and there are no protocols per se in traditional medicine for removing those. Okay, this has been our treatment, and this is the effect. It hasn't been effective. You're now full of toxins, but you know, c'est la vie. We can't do anything else. How do you see this? How do you see MMS as addressing people in that situation?
Oh, I think it does a really good job of detoxifying them. They just need to get on the MMS and take it and start out the same way I'm talking about, at two drops or maybe even one drop, and work their way up to 15 drops three times a day. It just takes time to work up there. It might take a month or two, or maybe a week or two or three days, depending on each person's different. But some people take quite a while to get all the toxins. But it's fast. I mean, MMS is fast. It isn't something that takes a year or months and months or anything like that. The worst I've seen so far is somebody with hepatitis C that's had it for like 40 years, and it's just really worked itself in. It may take a few months on that, but as far as detoxifying medical poisons, generally you can work them out of your body in a month or so if you just follow the standard protocol MMS protocol and start out with two drops and work your way up. It pretty much will clean them out.
You know, there are people out there that will say, well, you know, there are no clinical trials for that type of approach. But then, you know, up until your development of this procedure and protocol, for all of the billions of dollars of research that have gone into the study of medicine and even the advancement of it, it seems apparent that not much has gone into, not much thought has even gone into the idea of actually pulling those toxins out or developing a way to pull them out. So this is really something that's only become germane since the development of the MMS and this protocol.
Well, sort of, but there has been quite a few people around the United States who use chelation techniques. I had a friend who was terribly, terribly sick, and they had given him all kinds of stuff. He had been wounded very badly during the war, mm-hmm. the Second World War, and they had fed him with all kinds of different medical drugs and different things, and so he was sick and dying, and he was really in bad shape, and so he went to one of these places that do a chelation therapy, you know, where they run the chelator through your veins,
mm-hmm.
and he went to those two or three times a week. He did 160 treatments, and it was fairly expensive because they charge like $100 a treatment.
Yes.
But it saved his life. I mean, he was dying. He couldn't walk. He couldn't navigate. He couldn't think. And he got his life back just by doing the chelation. And the chelation helps a lot of people, and other people it don't seem to help at all. But the MMS seems to replace the chelation therapy totally. I mean, just a few weeks with MMS will, by mouth, will generally do what chelation therapy would take, months to do. So it was a thing that they used, and it was fairly successful, but the MMS just seems to do the job.
I stand clarified, because you are certainly right, and I am familiar with some of the chelation products that are out there, and yet I think one of the the real significant aspects of the MMS is the fact that it allows more people to, well, first of all, it appears to act quicker. You get effects much faster. You know from first application that something, whether something is happening and to the degree that it is occurring as well. That's pretty amazing, as well as for it to be as economical as it is.
That's plain luck that it's so cheap, but it's really, really quite economical.
What are some of the most extreme situations that you've seen, and how have they responded to MMS?
Most of the extreme situations, if you're talking about extreme situations, is has been in Africa with the various different diseases there. And, of course, over there, when I'm out to Europe, we're out treating the villagers and something. We're only going to be in a village for 1 or 2 days, so a lot of times we can't afford to do the nifty protocol that we do here, starting out at 2 drops. So we give them a big healthy amount of drops, like 10 or 12 or 15.
Uh-huh.
And they get really, really sick, but the next day they're well.
Uh-huh.
So it is, and you know, all of the thousands of people that's been treated and all over the United States and all over in Africa and the various different villages and places I've been, I've never had a report of any death.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a report of anybody staying sick.
Uh-huh.
They all seem to get over it. Here in the United States, there's quite a few people that are very, very, very sick with cancer that's been calling me lately, a whole lot of them,
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of cancer. And I just tell them to do the protocol, except more intensely. Maybe instead of once or twice a day, maybe 5 or 6 times a day, and to just keep it up all the time and more. And the basic underlying philosophy of the MMS is, if you're not getting well, you're not taking enough.
Uh-huh.
And so it's worked pretty much. I mean, even when a person has a real, real bad disease, a real, real bad cancer or something, if he can stand more, he takes more. And then, of course, if you find out that you have cancer and you're taking and you just can't gain on it because you get sick every time, then you need to go to several other things that might help, like the Indian herb. And just recently, I've got several people who are taking the Pteridophilus, which is a new development in an Acidophilus. It's a new development of Acidophilus that's about 1,000 times stronger than Acidophilus. Pteridophilus is really, really strong, but it's working with some of the people that I'm treating. I shouldn't say I'm treating anybody. I'm not treating them. I'm just, they're taking the stuff, and they're taking the stuff, and they're just calling me and asking me about how they're doing several times a week, and all I'm doing is just listening to them because they're just following the protocol. But the Pteridophilus seems to make the MMS go deeper. Now, I don't know that very many people need the Pteridophilus, but the ones who need it will seem to be the people who have Lyme disease, and they've had Lyme disease like 20 or 30 years, and it's really, really deep into their body. Then the Pteridophilus seems to be helping some. Anyhow, there's obviously a lot of things that we'll learn as we go along.
You mentioned the Indian herbs. Where can people find out about that, and how do they reach that?
Oh, the Indian herb is sold by a lady in Texas, and she and her father have been selling it for 60 years. And she has probably 1,000 or 2 letters of people who've been helped by the Indian herb. Now, that's just a name for it, Indian herb. I mean, basically, it's a formula of herbs.
Uh-huh.
And the main part of the formula is zinc chloride.
Some of our listeners who may be familiar with magnesium oil will be pleased to know that zinc, or zinc chloride, is a constituent part of that solution.
Zinc is a very powerful healer, and it is a very powerful killer of cancer as well. So it does two things. It, zinc helps your body heal. That's one of the major things in your body that's required for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a killer of cancer and other parasites. So it's a pretty powerful thing. And then there's bloodroot and a couple of other herbs that I don't remember offhand right now, but it's a good formula. I have the formula here somewhere, and a lot of people do. And there's a book that has all kinds of formulas in it that they call it black salve, and they call it Indian herb, and they call it a lot of different names. It's been used for many, many years and very successfully all over the United States. And usually some of the black salves is only used on the outside of the body. The Indian herb, people also take it as well, and all of them I think could be taken too, but a lot of them, they don't, there's just a lot of different people selling slightly different formulas of black salve, but the main thing in all of them is the zinc chloride. And you put that on a cancer, and it just goes right in a day or two, it just kills the cancer. And it goes all the way, if the cancers are on the outside of your body, melanoma and all of those, it'll just go right down and to the root of the cancer and kill it. And then that cancer will just separate itself out from the body, and there'll be a, it'll just be a big glob sitting right on your skin. And eventually, if you just turn your arm or your hand over something, the cancer will fall out.
Hmm.
And it just separates itself. It dies and separates itself and falls out. And then the healing is amazing. It always heals up in just a few days. And normally, most often, it don't even leave a scar. And sometimes it leaves a hole all the way down to the bone. And yet it will heal itself up in a few days. I mean, 4 days was what it did on me, and I've had other people who, and my friend just this last winter, he had a huge cancer in the side of his face, about the size of a dollar, and it he used it on that cancer, and it just did exactly what I told you. It went down to the root. It separated itself out. It finally just fell right out, and then it healed up, and it healed up in about 4 days. I mean, the nurse that was taking care of him said that kind of a hole in the side of a guy's face would take 6 months normally to heal all the way up, and this healed up in like 4 days, and then the scar was gone in about 2 weeks.
This was using the Indian herb or black salve as well?
Yeah.
Now, is that something that people can search on those terms and they can find the Indian lady, for example?
I think so. If they do a search on either black salve or Indian herb, a vial costs $60. She and her father's been selling it for 60 years, and thousands and thousands of people have been cured of cancer with it.
Part of what I see happening here is really describing and helping people see for themselves their own successful journey into recovery and the conquering of cancer, because you're describing realities that you're seeing people experience. And that is something that can be very reassuring and helpful to someone who is in that position now needing to make that journey themselves.
That's understandable. I've seen, and I and my friend have seen lots and lots of people cured of cancer using both the MMS and the black salve. But the black salve in conjunction with the MMS is probably the best way to go if you have a cancer that's really hard to handle.
You get many emails, people wanting to reach and have various questions. What is the top question that comes to mind?
Well, I mean, almost everybody wants to know how much they should take.
Uh-huh.
Almost everybody wants to know how they should start off.
Okay.
You know, and of course, I don't think I really explained that well in the book. I often say, well, go read my book, but I have to tell them how much to take because I don't think the book really covered the protocol. And protocol is really, really simple. Start out with two and work your way up to 15. And if you can take 15 drops three times a day for about a week, you're going to be cured. I mean, it's just, but getting there is not going to be easy if you got something really tough to handle, because you're going to get nausea and you're going to have to back down a couple of drops and take that for a while, and then you're going to have to start increasing the drops again, and then you're going to get some nausea and you're going to have to work down back down. But you know, this is sort of taking a certain amount of responsibility for curing yourself.
Yes.
And it's doing a little bit more than just going and sitting in a doctor's office and saying, cure me.
Yep.
And unfortunately, in order to make it work, you got to do it. But I think part of getting well is taking responsibility for getting yourself handled.
Doing your homework, having confidence in the efficacy of the protocols that you're selecting, that's all a part of it. You start to understand exactly, okay, even why this should work or how this should work. I talked to a lady earlier today who actually has a hole in her chest, which she hasn't received her MMS yet, but she's been told that it'll never heal until she gets all of the toxins out of her body. And yet, when I described the protocol to her and what it does and how the chlorine dioxide works, it makes sense to her. It's great to have faith, but it's also even better to know that something has a really good reason to be expecting that it'll work.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's the reason why I've tried to explain what chlorine dioxide is. And it's really, really an amazing chemical that will only oxidize things that are below the acidic level of the body. And when I say below, things that are more acidic than the body.
Mm-hmm.
And chlorine dioxide is used throughout the world for that very reason in public water works, because it is selective. It won't just go in and oxidize and mix with everything, like chlorine itself. Chlorine will just mix with everything and make all kinds of chemicals, and it will kill all of the bacteria and the viruses. But it also makes a lot of poisons, and a lot of people wind up dying because they've got a lot of chlorine in their body. But chlorine dioxide is totally, totally different. It has the same name, but it isn't anything like chlorine.
Mm-hmm.
In the first place, it only lasts for 2 hours. So it goes out there and it kills all the kind of stuff for 2 hours, and if it isn't destroyed and killing some of the stuff, it just dies in 2 hours anyway. And it turns into plain old salt. And the amount of salt from a 12-drop dose is less than half of a grain of rice. It's just a tiny, tiny amount, not enough to have any effect on you whatsoever, yet that's what it does. It turns in plain old table salt, and it washes out of the body, of course, and it leaves absolutely nothing behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real mean, fierce guy that goes out and kills things and then just goes away and leaves nothing behind. And it's a very unique chemical, because there's no other chemical that has those characteristics, or even comes close to having those characteristics. It goes in your body. It won't kill any of the good bacteria. It won't affect any of the good cells of your body. It won't kill any of the floral in your stomach or any of the floral in your intestines or anything. It doesn't do any harm whatsoever. It just goes in there. It kills the bad stuff, which is all stuff that is more acidic than the body. It's the anaerobic bacteria, and it recognizes those guys, and it's very, very high explosive, and it just oxidizes them. And oxidation, you don't need oxygen to oxidize things. There's plenty of chemicals that will oxidize things that don't have anything to do with oxidation. So don't have anything to do with oxygen, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Oxidation happens all the time, and oxygen ain't anywhere nearby. So that's what chlorine dioxide does. It oxidizes lots of things, but it isn't the same as oxygen at all. Because when you put extra oxygen in the body, it'll kill the good guys as well as the bad guys. But chlorine dioxide, which is a lot more powerful than oxygen, won't do that. It'll only kill the bad guys.
You were talking at one point about... No. Actually, I was reading in the second part of your book. I believe the doctor actually was talking... He's mentioning hyperbaric oxygen, I think, or treatments, guess, as ways of getting... Now, are treatments such as hyperbaric or hydrogen peroxide... Or how do they compare to chlorine dioxide?
They have all of those various different oxygen oxidizer treatments that there is, like you said, hydrogen peroxide. That they run that. They use that by IV, and it just don't go nearly as deep and do nearly the job that chlorine dioxide does, and unfortunately, it kills both the bad and the good guys. It oxidizes it. Hydrogen peroxide is a powerful oxidizer, not as powerful as chlorine dioxide, but it's a very powerful oxidizer, but it isn't selective like chlorine dioxide. And, of course, hyperbaric chamber is where they put you in a chamber under pressure, and they supply oxygen through the chamber, so you're getting pressurized oxygen. And the same situation is involved. You get a lot of high amount of oxygen, and the oxygen is an oxidizer, so it goes in and oxidizes a lot of the bad stuff in your body. But it's also oxidizing a lot of the good stuff too. So it isn't selective. And of course the same is true of ozone and all those. They put ozone into your by IV. It kills a lot of diseases, and they've been able to, in some cases, cure AIDS patients with ozone, but it don't carry as far into the blood as chlorine dioxide. Your blood can't even tell the difference between oxygen and chlorine dioxide, so the blood will carry chlorine dioxide really, really deep into the body. Everywhere the blood goes, the chlorine dioxide can go because the red blood cells are carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
But not true of ozone, and so ozone doesn't go nearly as deep, and it doesn't do nearly the job. And, of course, again, ozone is not selective. It kills everything it sees. So they have dozens of different oxygen type chemicals, but none of them have the characteristics that chlorine dioxide does, and that is the ability to selectively kill the anaerobic bacteria and viruses and other various things that parasites and other various things that are harmful to your body.
The more I hear, the more I cheer. Hey, that was right off the cuff, too. People are very, very protective about hope and about what to be hopeful about. And since there is so little support in mainstream thought right now about the ability to heal and to come back, there is hope, but it tends to be directed only in a specific area. Hope in this drug or hope in this surgical procedure or something like that. We tend to be steered away from having hope in something that is economical, that is accessible, and that actually doesn't have to take either life and limb, or doesn't have to take us further to the edge, or cost us our homes and our livelihoods. This is a different kind of a scenario that you've helped make and actually become the father of.
Well, let me say one thing, and because several different people thought that I was making money off of this thing. All of the MMS that's sold anywhere throughout the United States, I don't make any money on it. Some people send me a few bucks, but I don't. Nobody has to send me any money, mm-hmm. and I don't ask for any money. And all of the stuff that's sold or being sold is not being sold because I'm making any money out of it. In other words, I'm saying what I'm saying because I want people to get well. I'm not doing it because I'm making money off of it. So anybody who thinks that I'm standing up here saying these things so I'll make some money, they're confused.
And misinformed.
That's right, misinformed.
You were talking about mouth health.
I did want to say something about that.
Yeah, let's do that.
This chlorine dioxide, this MMS, which is basically produces the chlorine dioxide, is so effective in the mouth, it's unbelievable. I've had lots and lots of people now who used it and in their mouth, and I don't believe I don't care how healthy a person thinks his mouth is, I don't think I haven't found a single person who didn't get quite a bit of benefit from brushing his teeth with the MMS. And you brush your teeth, and especially your gums, your gums become a lot stronger, and all of the anything that would cause bad breath goes away instantly, and all of the pyrrhea and all of the various other gum diseases that might be there. I mean, MMS kills them the first two or three times you brush your teeth, and in a week, I guarantee you, I don't care who you are or how healthy your mouth is or how thick your mouth is, you start brushing it, and you're going to see a fantastic difference in a week's time. And MMS works really, really fast. And all you do is you just put 6 drops of the MMS in a glass. You add a half a teaspoonful of lemon juice or so, 30 drops if you want to count them. And you put that in there. You wait your 3 minutes. You add half a glass of water. And you use that to brush your teeth with it, and brush your gums with, of course. Brush them really good, and keep at it for maybe a minute or 2 minutes, and then rinse your mouth out. And, of course, some people will go ahead and drink the water that they were brushing their teeth with, and some would prefer to pour it out. Doesn't matter as far as your teeth are concerned, because your mouth is going to be a lot healthier for just doing that, and you should do it at least once every day for the rest of your life, and I guarantee you, your mouth, you'll never have any pyrrhea or any of the other gum diseases that come along, and you'll never get any abscess teeth or any of the other things that goes along with your teeth going bad. I mean, I don't guarantee you that you'll never get any teeth problem, or you'll never have to go to the dentist, but your mouth will be way healthier than it would have been otherwise.
I was corresponding with a lady over the past week who attempted as a last ditch to save a beloved puppy. Well, he wasn't a puppy. He had been around had lived a full life, but he had cancer, and she was hoping that she could use this in time, and that didn't work. However, she commented in writing back to me that she was really impressed by how great his teeth looked. And and she wants to use that for others, but that was something we didn't know about, you know, and so even within the sadness, there was still I noticed this happening, you know, and it was really impressive.
You mean the dog's teeth?
Yes.
The dog, in other words, in taking the MMS, his teeth got better.
Got brighter, whiter, and brighter, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. That part of it is great, at least.
Yes, it is. And it was, like I said, it was a quick spiral of treatments that the dog had before that. I mean, including steroids before MMS, and in fact, magnesium. We even started using to replenish the dog's magnesium stores as well. But it was just too late, and it was the dog's time. But
right.
But still, you know, you gain and whatever understanding you can gain, too. And that's one thing that really stuck out in her mind.
Very good. Very good.
I want to thank you. I want to thank you also for the people who have been thanking me that I've talked to. And because those thanks are just flowing through me to you because for what you have begun and done. And for all the wonderful benefits that we see that are going to happen as a result of this. So you are a humble man in reality and in many, many other ways. But it's really a pleasure to be a part of this with you.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure, too.